Okay, everyone, how are we getting on? It's Monday, the 11th of March, and you're watching the morning briefing with Hamish and Ryan. Ryan, how's things?
Things are good, yeah. It's good to be on a briefing, a morning briefing with somebody else as well. You know, should be doing those two shows myself yesterday. I'm doing pretty good. How are you? You're good?
Yes, I'm good, and I think you did very well chatting yourself, certainly for half an hour, much longer than I could have spoken or heard my own voice, believe it or not. I'm not a huge fan of that, so good effort, but we can chat a bit more. The morning briefing is sponsored by MPH Group for all your plumbing, heating, kitchen and bathroom needs, so thanks to them. Right, we had Celtic 4, Livingston 2 yesterday. Yes, in you come, everyone, in you come. Settle in. The usual names are there. Good to have you with us. And what's the verdict, Ryan? Did you come away relieved, dejected? What was the feeling?
I couldn't feel too dejected due to the fact that Celtic were through to the next round of the cup. So that is the main thing. They got the objective was completed. They're in the hat for the next round. They'll find out who they'll face in the next round soon enough. After that Hearts Morton game, I think the draw's after that game tonight, isn't it?
So the men's semi finals after the women's semi final is half time.
Right, okay. So we'll know around about 10 o'clock tonight, our time. Anyway, the time that I've got over here, when who Celtic could be facing in the semi-final. Yeah, not a great performance, I've got to say. I thought they really huffed and puffed for a lot of it. Two cracking goals from Livingston, I've got to say. Not good defending, but two good individual
good finishes.
Very good finishes, especially the one from, is it Yenge in the second half, was a stunning finish. But they got the job done. Celtic got the job done. Well done to Guys Maeda and his 100th appearance for the club. But there's still a lot of question marks, I would say, on certain performances yesterday. And there's certain areas that just need key players back. Or I think this season will only go one way, if I'm being honest.
So I've been looking at like the games and trying to kind of work out what it is that halts Celtic's momentum, because I would say we started the game well yesterday. Like I thought, you know, within the first minute, Kuhn had done that really good turn where he let the ball go through his legs, and I was watching it going, if this is a guy who's maybe not get much confidence at the moment and he's doing this kind of thing, that bodes well for his performance, it bodes well for the entire team. We started well, got an early goal. It's a brilliant goal. Kuhn, you know, drifts inside, I think, very like Patrick Roberts. And I know he looks like Patrick Roberts, but even the way he plays and drifts inside was very like Patrick Roberts. And, you know, he sees Maeda. If you freeze the frame, you see Maeda with his arm pointing where he wants the ball. It's a great ball, great goal. It's a great start. I thought it was a really good start from the team, almost kicking on from kind of the last home game against Dundee. And then we just gift, like, just a really basic goal. And it's just a terrible goal to lose. As you say, it's a good finish from the Livy guy, you know, high into the roof of the net. But like the defending for that was really poor. The line was poor to begin with. But my bigger problem, even than the line itself, was like the lack of desire almost for players to get back and get their body on the line to stop that shot. It was almost as if they all either thought it was going to be offside or they just thought the Livy player wasn't going to be capable of scoring. And he clearly was. So that was a frustrating goal to concede. You were at the game, so you might be able to tell me better, but it just felt as if like we had a bit of momentum early in the match. The team were playing well, the atmosphere was good, and then it just kind of stopped with that daft goal we gave away.
How many times can we say that this season, though? How many times has that happened? They'll start well, they'll get the early goal, it looks as if they're in the driving seat, and then they stop and they allow the other team some momentum. Sometimes that can happen at half-time going into the second half. You look at the Aberdeen game at Pittodrie, but they play well for a period of time and then they just stop and allow their opposition to believe in themselves and believe that they can get something from the game. I know it was a knockout tie. It certainly felt like a knockout tie yesterday, the way the game was going. But they just gifted Livingston that opportunity. Livingston are not a great team. It's Celtic, you know, it's a great finish from Daniel Mackay, but what is the defence doing? That's I'm not going to sugarcoat it whatsoever, but that is a... that defensive pairing was a pairing that wasn't good enough for Ange Postecoglou last season. It's now starting games due to injuries to key players such as Cameron Carter-Vickers, and you would expect Mike Navrovsky to be a starter if he wasn't injured all the time. But yeah, it's not ideal, and I thought the two of them had really, really poor games yesterday, specifically Welsh. I thought that was one of his poorest games for Celtic all in, and I thought he was just, I thought he was lost at sea for that first goal, if I'm being honest.
I just think like you talk about the defence being unsettled when Carter-Vickers isn't there, it's almost as if the whole team is unsettled because we just don't have that kind of ability to keep teams penned in. Dez is asking, with those two goals, you know, be scored with Carter-Vickers on the pitch. The second one, I'm not sure because that's a mistake in midfield, isn't it? But the first one, 100% no. It's down that side where Carter-Vickers would just have come across and dealt with that. And I just feel that, you know, when we're without Carter-Vickers, it's a big issue. And I think that is the big thing, you know, away from the match itself yesterday, is the whole Carter-Vickers and McGregor situation. We'll come on to that in a minute. I think, to be fair, the team, I thought even after it went 1-1 that the team played some decent stuff in that first half. I thought the second half it really was pretty poor fare all round, and it became a kind of a bit of a worrying game. I mean, was there a moment when you thought we maybe wouldn't advance?
There's always a worry when it's 2-2 and it's going into the final stages. You're like, if Livingston get a corner or a set piece, they're a massive team. You can see that in person as well. They've got so many players over 6 foot that can cause problems with their physicality and their height. So whenever they get a set piece or a corner or whatever, you thought, right, this is panic stations for Celtic because, you know, that defence isn't great. Those scales in Welsh specifically, you know, you were worried that they would maybe get beat at a first header and then Livingston score. And I was particularly worried when it was, I can't remember the play, it might have been Yenge as well, that he dived to get booked for simulation, but there's that it moment was, where you're like,
yeah, it was the right back, I think, they got booked for diving, wasn't it?
Nightingale
or whatever.
Nottingham. That's the one.
Because yeah, I remember that because Peter Grant said that was naughty from Nottingham. And that was about the highlight of the game.
That was the highlight, yeah. And I knew it was a dive the moment he did it, but you just never know with the way that VAR is getting implemented and stuff like that. But that was the worrying point. But thankfully, you know, Maida came in and saved the day again with his third of three goals, and Celtic advanced to the next round. But it's one of those ones that I think there's more questions than answers from that game. I think a better team would have really punished Celtic on the day. You know, a Hearts, Hibs, Rangers, Aberdeen, maybe not Aberdeen at the moment.
Just
but,
go through the entire,
you know,
league table.
Yeah. You could, honestly, there's a lot of teams that would have punished Celtic more, and Livingston did punish Celtic because they got two goals, but I think other teams would have got more goals against Celtic yesterday. It was just that sort of performance. Yes, they got the job done, but there's so much they need to improve on for the next game against St Johnstone.
Yeah, it's just trying to find that encouragement from the performance. I feel like that's a big duty the team have at the moment. Obviously, their main duty is to win matches, and they ticked that off yesterday. But I feel like at this stage of the season, we need to see a little bit more, especially when you're at home to a team like Livingston, who have been struggling all season, are going to get relegated, I would think, from the top flight. You want to see a lot more than scraping by and you know, scoring an 85th or 86th minute goal to go ahead. Like, you really want to see a lot more than Celtic, and that's what yesterday became. It became a real battle in that second half, and yeah, you look around the team again, and there was just a lot of kind of players underperforming that entire midfield. I'm sorry, but Bernardo, for me, again, another match passes him by. O'Reilly, I'm prepared to give a little bit of leeway because he's clearly not well at the moment, and Brendan Rodgers, you know, covered that after the match. He's not been well for certainly the last week, and I believe that includes Tynecastle as well. You know, Iwata wasn't great yesterday, although he did well for Maida's third goal. For me the positives were the wingers yesterday, I'll be honest, you know, and that's a rare thing. We've not said that often this season, but I thought Kuhn was a lot more lively. Still, you know, his final ball wasn't always there, and kind of, yeah, it didn't quite come off for him, but you know, in the main, I thought he looked good, was linking the play, looked like he had confidence. Maida was obviously man of the match, given his three goals. Could have probably had a couple more as well. And I thought James Forrest came on and did quite well as well. And, you know, really kind of helped us down that right-hand side later in the game. So those would be the main three, you know, positives for me, alongside Kyogo getting his goal. Because Adam Ida wasn't great yesterday.
No, he wasn't at all. He was really, really struggling. But it was good that Maeda sort of took that responsibility from Ida and was the goal scorer on the day. He wasn't prepared to be on the losing side. He wasn't prepared to get eliminated that day. And he did all he could to get as many goals as he could in the game. And he should have had more. He hit the bar. He also let the ball go through his legs at one point, which was, you know, the weird and wonderful Daizen Maeda in a nutshell. He's the most fascinating player I think I've watched in a long time at Celtic. You don't know what you're going to get from him, but yeah, honestly, he can be quite enigmatic, but you know, he brings so much more positives than negatives. It's that running, it's that constant willpower, it's the will to get forward, and the three goals yesterday, it's good to see him back in the score sheet. I just think, you know, when I'm doing my predicted 11s, I'm always wanting to see maybe like the more flashy players like Palma and Kuhn, and Yang as well, to be fair. But for me, at this moment in time, Maeda's one of the first names on the team sheet because you just know what you're going to get from him. And then just quickly, you know, down that right-hand side, I thought Alistair Johnson was really good yesterday as well. I thought he was one of the better players. He was driving the team forward. Not really much in terms of a defensive performance, but I've noticed that it seems that wingers are doing really well down that side, playing alongside Alistair Johnson. Yang was getting some good stuff before his suspension because he's playing with Alistair Johnson, who understands the spacing needed for a winger to get into spaces. And then Kuhn yesterday, him and Alistair Johnson looked really good down that side. So, yeah, he looks as if he's getting back on form. And I think at this moment in time, without Callum Carter-Vickers in the team, he's holding that defence together at the back just now.
I agree on your point on Maeda. I mean, I say this all the time, but I just love the guy. I know he's a frustrating player, you know, with the ball at his feet, and you know, it's a thing people always say, but if he was much better at that, he wouldn't be with Celtic, because his engine is incredible and his off the ball play is brilliant. I just love him. I love what he brings the team. I love the way, you know, how hard he works for the jersey and the team, and I'm delighted in days like yesterday when he, you know, is the hero, because he's very rarely the hero, and even when he is the hero, the thing about Maeda is, if you watch him, he celebrates other people's goals more than his own. He's a very selfless player, and I enjoy days like yesterday when he becomes the hero, because he has enough kind of hard times, I think, with comments said about him, so I like days like yesterday when he was a match winner. Anyway, a few comments. Jazz not going in depth, but yeah, hard to disagree with that. A hard watch. It's just a hard watch yesterday. It was just a kind of slow performance. I saw, is it Neil Lennon saying it was a great game for the neutral? I guess it was in terms of goals and the fact it was closer than many people would have expected, but I don't think it was a great game at all. I thought it was quite a sloppy game. Livingston are not a good team. And, you know, arguably, well, you know, we're not a good team either at the moment.
Probably what made it a game, because it was two poor sides coming up against each other. One poor side in general, another that's in really, really bad form, that's missing key individuals in the team. That's probably what made it a good game for the neutral. It was as good as it could be at a game between Livingston and Celtic, I would say, at Celtic Park. But that's because Celtic were just not playing at their best whatsoever.
Son of Scotland, Joe Hart saves stopped his going behind. If Livy had been a little better, we'd have been out, I'm afraid. Joe Hart did make a good save from the corner. It's a good save, but it's probably one you would be pretty annoyed about if he hadn't have made it. But yeah, I guess you know, he did that. I'm trying not to sound too like Roy Keane, you know, it's his job, etc. Hayes was saying, don't care what anyone says, CCV should not be allowed away to the international games. You can see it coming, he goes and comes back with a bigger injury. We need him for the run-in. We'll just move on to Cameron Carter-Vickers then. I must say, Hazel, I was very worried when I saw Brendan Rodgers' comments regarding Carter-Vickers, not necessarily about the injury, but about the prospect of international football. And if he's pulling up in training on Saturday, in a light training session, passing the ball. I think Roger said he passed the ball and felt something going his, or felt something in his hamstring. Then, you know, I'm worried about him going away with the USA, working, you know, with maybe coaches who aren't quite as aware of his situation as those, you know, those are at Celtic. And the situation overall with Carter Vickers kind of concerns me, because he just seems to be picking up loads of things and missing various games. And I'm all for Celtic, you know, taking precautions and yeah, obviously that's preferable to him playing yesterday and aggravating the injury further. But equally, the fact he keeps picking up wee niggles and missing a game here and missing a game there is you know, quite frustrating, I would guess, for everyone.
He'll be the difference between Celtic winning silverware or not this season. He needs to be fit, and Celtic have got to find a way of keeping him fit and stopping him from picking up these aggravating injuries. It's, how many injuries is that now he's had this season? 4, 5, 6 separate ones that have kept him out for games at a time.
And prior to his surgery, I could be wrong, but I don't remember him having many in the previous, you know, couple of seasons.
I don't remember him being out whatsoever. He's just signed that new deal, that new 5-year deal. You're hoping that that wasn't preempting the fact that he was going to pick up these injuries, and he was happy with his lot at Celtic. If he's going to be this sort of injury-prone player, I don't think he'll think that for a second. But it's something that Celtic need to sort. He's a player that is so vital to everything that Celtic do. Not just the defending, but the actual build-up of play from playing the ball out of the. He's one of the best passers of the ball at Celtic as well. I know he does simple passes, but they always meet their destination. They always get to Cal McGregor, who's when he's in the team, when he's not injured as well, that's another separate problem. Or when he passes it out to the wingers or the other midfielders in the team, he's always accurate with his passing. He's just a colossal figure for Celtic, and they're wanting Celtic to wrap him in cotton wool from now until the end of the season, and only and play him when you can. But you know, take every precaution, because I can't understate it enough or overstate it. He will be the difference between Celtic winning the league or not this season. He's that important. That back line, and I'm sorry to go in on them again, that back line won't be winning any silverware, because other teams will punish them for the mistakes that they made yesterday more severely. If Cameron Carter-Vickers can stay fit, he will be the difference, in my opinion.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that, on the defence, because yeah, you look at the way Livy pierces open a couple of times yesterday, you wonder, even like, as I say, on Saturday, St Johnson coming to town, you wonder what kind of joy they could have against that back line. I think that's a major issue, and I know he's clearly not a big fan of, Rogers clearly isn't a big fan of Lager Bielka, but I would be looking at him, you know, he must be able to offer us more than what we witnessed yesterday from the two centre-backs. It sounds like maybe Carter Vickers won't be right for this weekend. It seems like it might be pushed into the international break, and hopefully that goes well, but I'm not totally sure. Callum McGregor's another one for me. I would put him alongside Carter Vickers in terms of importance, and I think we saw that yesterday. He's quite similar to Carter Vickers in that you almost don't realise the impact McGregor has until he's not there. And I think some of the people criticising Callum McGregor this season maybe in line for a bit of a rude awakening if he doesn't play much between now and the end of the season, because you'll realise how much we miss him. And that's a concerning one. If I'm at a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10 for Carter Vickers' concern, I'm up at an 8 or 9 for McGregor, because Roger's comments on McGregor were far cagier, I would say. He basically said, we're hoping to get to the bottom of what the issue is. You know, there's been rumours online of McGregor missing the rest of the season. It seems like those rumours are kind of growing, and the chat is growing, and some people think there's something in that. Obviously, they're just rumours at this stage, but the comments from Rodgers didn't suggest to me there was any real hopes for getting him back that soon. I think he said, you know, potentially, you know, we can kind of get to the bottom of this, and maybe after the international break. But I didn't get the impression it was particularly hopeful on Roger's part.
No, and he needs to come back quickly as well for the rest of this season. Either that, or Vioetati has to make a speedy return to this team. There needs to be some dynamism in that midfield. It's struggling at the moment, big time. Matt O'Reilly, I can give some, you know, time to, due to the fact that he is ill, that Brendan Rodgers was talking about. You know, you can give him that excuse for a couple of games, but, you know, you can be as ill as you want. You don't make mistakes like that yesterday. You don't dilly-dally on the ball and allow the opposition to get any sort of leeway in the game or any sort of encouragement in the game. That's what they did.
What about Gordon's comment? Because he's saying an elephant in the room, O'Reilly.
His stats have actually been quite good over the past couple of games as well, Matt O'Reilly too. He was one of Celtic's better players at Tynecastle. I know they get beat, but he was the one that was making things happen in the middle of the park, making key passes and trying to get something going in a really tough situation for the club. But yeah, on the whole, since, you know, January, since the January transfer window as well, you could see he's not been at the same level that he was beforehand. I think he was by far the best player in the league. The first half of the season, his goals and assists prove that, as well as his performances both domestically and in Europe as well. I thought he was outstanding in Europe for Celtic in some games in particular, but he's not got to that level. Maybe he's burned out, maybe it's due to, you know, this illness that we're talking about over the past couple of games anyway, but he's not got to the same level that he was in the first half of the season, and the team's hurting as a result of that, because you could always rely on him for a goal or an assist pretty much every game in the first half of the season. Doesn't help that Palmer's form has went off a cliff as well. When those two are your main goal getters and your main assist makers as well, when they go off form, then the other players are going to need to step up, and you need players like Maeda, you need Kuhn, you need Yang, all of these players to step up and make up for those numbers. There was a tweet going about a couple of days ago, and it was all the goals that Celtic have lost from last season, and you take into account, like, you know, a couple from Starfelt, a couple from Itati, you know, the higher levels from Kyogo, he doesn't have as many goals this season. It's difficult to replace them, and when the players that you've replaced, those that have left, aren't scoring, like your Palmas, etc., then it's going to be difficult to maintain that good level that was the season before. It's a problem that Celtic need to solve, but yeah, and your point about the midfield and Cal McGregor, if Cal McGregor's going to be out for the rest of the season, that's a massive blow in Celtic. If that is the case, they need to get Rio Hatate back and fully fit, because there's that dynamism that's sorely needed from one of those two players that just isn't there at the moment because of injuries.
I mean, that's the pessimistic side, is, you know, looking at it and saying, you know, potentially Carter Vickers and McGregor may miss a good chunk of the rest of the season, and that can be really damaging. Potentially, you know, the other side of things is that we've got St Johnstone at the weekend. It's at Celtic Park. If we play like yesterday, it'll be a struggle, don't get me wrong. But it could have been a worse fixture. If we're able to get through that without McGregor and Carter Vickers somehow, you know, just get the 3 points no matter what, we then get, what, a couple of weeks respite, you know, during the international break, time to get them up to speed, time for Rio Hatate to get up to speed. Potentially, maybe there's a world out there where we start at Livingston with, you know, Carter Vickers and McGregor in the side, Hatate on the bench, something like that. Kyogo maybe signs yesterday and Hearts last week that he's returning, getting his mojo back. I thought he took that goal really well. I don't know if I'm reading far too much into it, but maybe a month ago Kyogo doesn't take that so coolly. It just felt to me like he was really composed at that moment. So, you know, those for me are your four most important players between now and the end of the season. And I know that's crazy because Hatate's barely kicked a ball this season, and I do still have my doubts whether he'll even be a feature this season. If it'll take him too long to get up to speed, that the season will be over. But, you know, Carter Vickers, McGregor, Hatate, Kyogo for me right now, if we can find a way to get all of them playing some part as we approach the end of the season, I think that'll be great news for us. If Carter Vickers or McGregor, or obviously both, miss out a chunk, I'll be honest, I struggle to see us having a successful season based off yesterday.
It's the spine, isn't it, of the team. You look at the spine of last season as well. Cameron Carter-Vickers, Rio Hatate, Matt O'Reilly was in there to an extent, even though he was in and out of the team due to Aaron Moy, Jota as well. You know, you take all of these players out of the team, it's very difficult to replace them. And the players that have remained this season, in Cameron Carter-Vickers and Cal McGregor, Rio Hatate's been injured obviously a long time, but when these players are injured, then the other players that are maybe on the bench when these players are fit have to step in and be counted for. So difficult for the spine of the team to be lost in such a crucial part of the season. You know, the good thing is that they're not playing two games a week at this moment in time. I don't think they will be actually until the end of the season. Maybe there's a couple of weeks that maybe they play two games, but at least they can deal with injuries in like 7 day periods. You know, they've got the 6-7 days between games, and that will help them in the long run. You're just hoping that, you know, every week that they can bring another player back, whether that be Carter Vickers, whether that be Cal McGregor, Rio Itati, whoever, you know, Yang back from suspension as well, who was coming onto a game before his red card at Tynecastle. If you can get these players back, you know, especially leading up to that big game against Rangers at Ibrox, then you'd be more confident. But at this moment in time, with those players missing, and that spine missing in the team, you just feel that it's all going to fall apart. And it's terrible to be that negative, but they're so, so important, and they've won things for Celtic in the past. It's a difficult situation to be in.
I don't think it's negative. I think it's realistic to look at the impact. And it's almost a real genuine praise for guys like McGregor and Carter Vickers, because they're so important. And I know we got a comment in earlier saying, you know, injuries happen to every team, and of course they do every season. You know, every team's affected by injuries to an extent, and, you know, Celtic have done a lot wrong this season, and I think if things don't go to plan, that will be the main focus of the ire. It'll be what the club has done wrong. But I think, you know, we have to just point out that injuries have been, you know, really, really impactful for us this season. Key players have missed significant periods of time. You look at basically all of our key players this season have missed, you know, weeks, months due to injuries. It's felt like it that way all season. It'd be nice to get some good news and genuinely just hope that McGregor and Carter Vickers can get back. Excuse me, Steve saying, time to put Ida back on the bench and for Kyogo to start. He's scored in every round of the Cup so far. Yeah, just touched on Kyogo. I'm wary of just chopping and changing all the time, but I do agree that I think Kyogo's probably earned a start. I think there was something different about his performance at Tynecastle in the second half. I thought he looked lively. And I thought yesterday when he came on, to be fair, he did still do a few daft things at 2-2 when he gave the ball away. But I just thought the way he took that goal, you know, was really good. What about James Forrest? Because he was pretty good. Jerry saying James Forrest should start on Saturday, played well when he came on. Sushi saying best winger, but doesn't get a game. What are you talking about, Rodgers? Now, Brendan Rodgers did call James Forrest the best winger at Celtic. With all due respect, I think, or with the greatest respect, he said... He then did qualify why Forrest doesn't play anymore, which I actually thought was quite interesting. He was saying basically that Forrest can't press the game as well as he used to, and that his age has, you know, potentially caught up with him, and that's why he doesn't, you know, start matches, but he can still offer his stuff off the bench. So I thought that was interesting from Rodgers. What did you make of the comments?
Yeah, it's the third time he said that about James Forrest in a press conference. He said it in pre-match press conferences too, and then this is the first time he said that in a post-match, saying that Forrest is the best winger at the club. I'm guessing that means in terms of history as well and his overall quality. But, you know, age does catch up with everybody, age and injuries as well, I would say, because that injury that he got 2020 when he was out most of the season, most of the 10 in a row season, I think just really hampered his playing time as a result. It was the worst possible time to get it for him. Then Celtic really struggled without him in that season. You've got to remember how big a miss he was on the wing for Celtic that season. He's came back and he's not really been the same player, which is unfortunate. He seems to always get a game against Livingston. He always comes on either off the bench or gets a start against Livingston. I don't know if that's his,
it's usually that's his designated the Tony team. Mack.
Yeah, but it's always good to see him come on. He's a legend of the club. He's got goals, he's got assists, over 100 in both categories. I can see why Rodgers says that, but at the same time, you know, if you're a winger at the club and you're like, this guy that only gets 10, 15 minutes is the best winger at the club, what am I doing wrong for 60, 70 minutes if I'm playing? For me, if I was choosing on the right wing for Saturday, early doors, if he's not injured, of course, because he was holding the back of his leg when he came off, would be Nicholas Coon. I would just give him that start, because I thought he was... I thought he did more in that 60, 70 minute appearance than all of his previous performances put together. I do agree with you on the Paddy Roberts sort of comparison. It was a Paddy Roberts sort of move from him, and it was a really good ball into Maeda. The striker, the forward did well to finish it, but it was all about the assist. But it was good to see James Forrest in the team, you know, good to see that his contribution is probably bigger off the pitch than it is on the pitch. I'm hoping that's the case, because, you know, he does hardly get a game, but you're hoping that he's one of those leaders in the dressing room that can help the wingers get better at their game, get better at their craft. You can't have too many leaders in that team. He's been there, he's seen it, he's done it. And, you know, he'll be important from now until the end of the season and drumming up the support from behind the scenes. And then if he's called upon, then you would hope that he could do the business in terms of getting a goal late on in games. But I understand why he's not playing. Age and injuries have caught up with him, but it's still good to see him. And I thought he was really positive and bright when he came on.
Yeah, I thought he helped us on the right-hand side. So we're through. That's basically all that really matters when you get down to it. We've got one more game now before the international break, St Johnstone on Saturday. If we win it, you know, we move on. It's quite a big game, isn't it? Just the fact, well, they all are at the moment, but just with it being the final game before the international break, if we're going to be without, you know, Carter Vickers, McGregor, it's just a case of going, you know, getting through that one, taking the 3 points and moving forward.
Yep, that's, you know, as much as performances are an added bonus, that is all they are at the moment. Just got to get the wins regardless if Celtic are playing poor or not. The team that will win the league this season won't be winning the league because they play the best football. It's just because they get the winning, they're winning games when it matters. Both teams, both Celtic and Rangers, are not playing good stuff at the moment. It's a slugfest, and it's going to be like that from now until the end of the season. They've just got to pull it out of the bag. The good thing is for Brendan Rodgers, he's been in this situation before, maybe not as close in a title race before, but he's been in this situation before when managing Celtic in tough moments. So you're hoping that can come to the fore and he can bring the League and Cup double over the line. That would be an absolutely ideal, you know, end to the season, given how up and down it's been. There is no more time for ups and downs this season. It's got to be steady from now until the end of the season. Performances are a bonus, but just get those 3 points and get that progression into the final and then win the cup. You know, don't get to the final, win the cup as well. They know what they have to do. So let's go and do it.
Yeah, as you say, the cup draw is tonight after Morton versus Hearts. We'll find out who we're going to play. We've got Aberdeen, Rangers and Morton or Hearts. You would certainly think it'll probably be Hearts. So you're looking at, you know, four of the biggest sides in the country, they're going for it. So it's going to be very interesting in the Scottish Cup. And obviously the league is the real big, big one where everyone's, most of people's attention is at the moment. Right, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Well, you will, Ryan. I won't be on, but I'll be back on Wednesday. I think Tony will be back at that stage as well. So yeah, plenty to get our teeth into. This has been the morning briefing sponsored by MPH Group for all your plumbing, heating, kitchen and bathroom needs. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks everyone else for tuning in as you always do in the live chat. Please come back this time tomorrow.
Cheers, guys.